speaker tonight is Ari.
My name is Ari. I'm an alcoholic. Can you guys hear me? No? Okay. Thank you for asking me to speak, Nikki. You gave me a lot of time to think about it. She just asked me right before. So I guess I'll tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. My sobriety date is November 29, 2011. So I've been sober for a little over 3 years. I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor, and I assume his sponsor has a sponsor as well. My home group is the men's meeting on Friday nights at Yana. It's a great meeting. If you go to a meeting anywhere, there's going to be some guy from that group probably. What it was like, I don't know. When I was like, some of my earliest thoughts and feelings when I was a kid and like memories are just like sort of being in a group of people and sort of like thinking they were better than me and thinking that I was weird and just sort of thinking that I was out of place. And nothing had really happened to make me feel that way, but I just always felt different than everybody. You know, I remember when I was like 6, 7 years old, I started to get real sick, and I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was 9 years old. And in class, like, I started to get like snack time early, so like they'd stop like 15 minutes before everyone was about to go get snack, and they'd be like, "Oh, Ari, like, it's time for snack," you know, and it just made me feel real weird and real uncomfortable, you know, just another thing to like, I don't know, sort of difference myself from other people. But I started to get sick, and I started to feel sort of not so good all the time, and I know this is an AA meeting, but my sponsor talks about drugs and other things when he tells his story, so I figure I'll do the same. I went on this drug called prednisone, and it's like a steroid for anti-inflammatory in your stomach, and it like makes you real hungry, you know, so I sort of realized like eating a lot of food like made me feel good. And so I remember like 9 years old, like sort of like feeling bad and like binge eating, you know, and I did that for like, thanks, Glenn. So I did that for like a while. And my parents sort of raised me to tell the truth and to be a good person and obey the rules. And sort of the first time I ever like lied to my parents was like related to food. You know, it was just like my mom was like, "Did you have dinner?" And I like just ate dinner, and I'd be like, "No," you know, so I could get like another dinner. You know, so it was like my first sort of like drink was food. You know, but by the time high school rolled around, I was ready to get messed up. You know, my friends started smoking pot and drinking my freshman year of high school, and I joined them, and I was like, this is way better than food, you know. It was just like, you know, one of those, like, God moments or whatever that people talk about. I remember, like, I, like, smoked weed before, like, a girls' soccer game, and, like, I went, and I just thought I was, like, the man, you know. Like, I just rolled up there, you know, it was just, you know, like 8 o'clock, like on a school night, and I'm just like stoned or whatever, you know, and I just felt like a million bucks, you know, and I don't know, I sort of felt like how like in the book they talk about like I had arrived or whatever. I thought, you know, this is me. And so I'm just gonna, you know, everyone knows what it's like getting messed up, so I'm not gonna talk about that for that long, but it was fun for a really long time, you know, and I told myself I was going to keep it to certain things and certain substances, and I broke all those promises to myself, you know. Getting messed up was fun for a long time, but I started to get consequences. You know, I got arrested for selling drugs on Davis Island. I crashed a few cars. You know, my family caught me stealing pills. So basically, like, I just start to have these consequences, and I don't know, I'm still having fun or whatever. My parents think, like, it might be a problem, but I'm saying it's fine, it's whatever. And so, I don't know when it happened, but I sort of, like, crossed a line to where, like, getting messed up wasn't fun anymore. you know, and I had to do it to feel okay inside. And when I wouldn't do it, I would feel real bad. You know, I'd start to get suicidal, and I'd get real depressed, you know. And so I had one of two options I saw in my mind was, okay, if I don't get messed up, I'm going to feel like this. And if I do get messed up, you know, I'm going to keep having these consequences or whatever. But in my head, like, the consequences didn't outweigh that awful feeling I experienced of being sober, you know. So I continued going on, and I graduated from high school, and I sort of thought Tampa was the problem, and the kids I was hanging out with were the problem. And my plan was to go to Florida State and sort of, like, get my act together. And, you know, I'd hang out with, like, different kids, and I get up there, and I just, you know, immediately find the same kind of people I was hanging out with before, and it was basically just, like, one long night. I mean, one long day in Tallahassee. Every morning would start the same way. I'd wake up, I would do drugs or drink, and sort of like try and scavenge enough money to get messed up for that day, you know. And it was a pretty miserable thing to do. Just left me feeling pretty empty, and slowly but surely I started getting introduced to substances I told myself I would never do. And you know, the first time I did cocaine, I was like, you know, it's a great thing I can't afford to do cocaine, you know. But that didn't really make a difference. You know, I'm telling my parents all sorts of lies to get money. You know, my car's getting towed all the time. I start to not go to class or whatever. And basically, what happens is I'm up there for probably 6 months. I made it 6 months at Florida State, you know. So I almost graduated, basically. I was just so miserable. What's cool about Florida State is that, like, there's probably, like, a handful of people out here that are like, yeah, like, I tried to graduate from Florida State, too, but then I went to AA, you know. But, yeah, so, I don't know, my life was pretty miserable. I was broke all the time, I was depressed all the time, I was suicidal all the time. And one day, me and my other buddy, who, like, you know, he was a pretty heavy drug user, but he didn't use drugs the same way I did or drink the same way that I did. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to get fucked up today. You know, sorry for swearing. I'm not going to get messed up today. And I think I, like, took a pill in the morning because that wasn't considered getting messed up, you know, because that was just to maintain whatever was going on. And I made it till, like, 5 o'clock. And I was like, you know, I made it till 5. That's good enough, you know, whatever. And then, you know, the night went on, and it was miserable like always. And I don't know. That was sort of, you know, not the first glimpse of, like, me being powerless over over drugs and alcohol, but it was sort of like, okay, Ari, you really wanted to not do this, but you ended up doing it anyways, you know. And it was sort of just like, wow, what's going on? And, you know, in previous, I guess I passed over some things, but it doesn't really matter. Basically, I ended up hitting bottom in Florida State, and it was just like an ordinary day. You know, I woke up, I did what I do, tried to find some money, couldn't really find any money, finally found some money, and I was just like, God, I can't keep doing this, you know. And I was just like, all right, the only way to end this is, like, I'm just going to kill myself, you know. So I texted out my drug dealer, and I was going to overdose on purpose, and he didn't text me back right away. So I was like, oh, great, I can't even kill myself. Like, this is how bad I am at life, you know. It's like, and so I do what any, you know, big strong man does when he's in, like, a point like this. I call my mom, and I was like, Ma, or maybe I called one of my friends first, I don't know, it doesn't matter, but I called my mom, and I was just like, look, this is what's going on. I'm doing A, B, and C, and I can't stop, and I want to, you know, and I need help. And that was huge, because that was the first time throughout my entire life that I let somebody into what was actually going on with me, you know. Because before that, it was always me wearing this mask of, like, everything's okay, Ari's this funny guy, and everything's always okay, you know. And that just was not the case, you know. And it was also the first time that I asked for help, you know. And that was, like, I think it was cool that I asked for help before I got to AA, because a lot of times it's sort of the reverse. But So I call my mom. She's like, okay, you need to come home, and, you know, we'll go meet with the therapist or whatever. And right off the bat, like, I'm telling her, like, I need rehab. Because I was just so convinced that if I didn't, like, get thrown in somewhere that I was going to get messed up, you know. And so she was like, okay, well, promise me not to go get messed up tonight and come home tomorrow and we'll figure something out. She was, like, pressing for outpatient. And so, of course, I go get messed up that night, and I leave the next day, and I go back to Tampa, and that was my sobriety date, November 29, 2011. Okay, 5 minutes, cool. So I come back to Tampa, I meet with the therapist is like, no, he needs inpatient. My mom's like, what about outpatient, you know, because God forbid her perfect son go to rehab like some sort of drug addict, you know what I mean? But that's exactly what I was. So I end up in rehab, and they're like, you know, there's all these stupid rules or whatever, and I'm just like, okay, I'll do them, you know, because I was at a point where, you know, if I had gone to some sort of, like, Christ camp, and they were like, and I'm a Jew, and they were like, okay, you know, we're going to worship Christ all day, and this is how you're going to stop getting messed up, I would have done that, you know what I mean? It didn't matter what anyone was going to tell me to do. I was just going to do what I was told, because I knew what I did not work, you know, and luckily, you know, they introduced us to AA, and I got a sponsor, and I worked the steps, and, like, I would probably say, like, probably my first 9 months, I did everything textbook, you know what I mean? I called my sponsor, I stayed away from women for the most part, I worked the steps, I did my four step, my sponsor was like, you know, I don't know about those treatment assignments, but, like, the four step will keep you sober, you know, and so I was like, okay, you know, so I stopped doing my treatment assignments, and I did my four step, and I banged it out in, like, 2 days, you know, and we were going over it when I had, like, a month and a half sober, you know, and after doing that fifth step, I felt high, you know, not high, but sober high, and it was just amazing, you know, and I don't know, my life just slowly got better, and it was all from, doing what AA suggests, you know, getting a sponsor, working the steps, finding a relationship with the higher power, you know, and basically, what I've sort of come to realize is that, like, my life will be better if I do things that I don't want to do, you know, but the majority of the time, I don't want to do it, and it takes me getting in a lot of pain to do it, you know, like, I was talking with Terry the other day, just, like, about a 10-step, and just like, God, I, you know, I go through all this pain, I'm going to put myself through all this pain, and literally all I'd have to do is sit down for 10 minutes, write down what I'm thinking about and what's going on with me, share it with somebody else, and I would probably feel 10 times better, you know, but I'm stubborn and I won't do it. So yeah, I mean, I guess I just had to get beat up into a place where I just sort of realized that I don't know anything, you know, and 3 years later, I still don't really know that much. But I have some sponsees, and I have a relationship with higher power. I have a relationship with my sponsor. I have great friends. I got a great girlfriend. I'm back in school. I was bailing out of college, you know, and now I'm back. And I'm thinking about going to grad school to get my PhD in psychology, you know, which is just like, it's what I've always wanted to do, but it's something that I never would have been able to do. And so, yeah, I mean, life's not always, you know, picture perfect, but it's much better than it was. And that's all I got.